to the Tulsa Music Stream. And now, your host, Scott and Janice Squires. You want the dirt? You've got it.
Good evening and welcome to Tulsa Music Stream. We are back here for another episode with you guys. We hope you're doing great on this happy Friday evening. Finally made it to the weekend, and we are so thrilled to be spending tonight the way we are doing it, and that's with a rock legend, a female who has certainly made a name for herself in rock and roll, Miss Lorraine Lewis of Femme Fatale, formerly Vixen. She will be joining us here in moments for episode 110. That's a lot of episodes. Yeah. How are you, Scott? This is my co-host, Scott Squires. Say hi to everybody.
Hey, how you doing, man? Yeah, make sure you guys share this on all your favorite Facebook pages and all your favorite groups and everything like that on Facebook. We're also on YouTube. You can hit the subscribe button on that, notification bell. You can hit like. That always helps boost up our views. And of course, we're on X and Twitch. And all of our platform podcasts like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, and so many others.
She is ready to go. She is settling in.
Welcome to Tulsa Music Stream.
Yes. How are you?
Hi, guys. Oh, my gosh. Scott and Jenna, you've been so gracious and so cool.
You are among friends, so do not worry about a thing. We're going to have a good time. Now, we saw the story yesterday, and it's starting to really come out in the news. We're going to get this one over with, and then we're going to get on to the fun stuff. But I think you've just kind of started speaking publicly, just maybe this week, about the departure from Vixen. And for the benefit of those watching tonight who haven't gotten to read the story or haven't seen the previous interviews, if you would just kind of share some of your thoughts about that situation, because from what we read yesterday, it sounds like this was quite a surprise to you.
I guess you said it was it wasn't your decision to leave. You were shocked and surprised. Rock and roll is not warm and fuzzy.
Right. So what's going on, Lorraine?
Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, thank you so much for being so sweet and waiting for me to get set up. I don't know if a lot of people know that I have a jobby job. I am a television producer. And with that comes, deliveries to networks and executive text messages and things like that. And it's Friday, and we just did a big delivery to Lifetime Network. And everything went great, but at the same time, they're asking questions. So my phone was going off like crazy when I was supposed to be on camera already. So just, thank you so much for being so sweet.
Absolutely.
And then I do want to say, as far as the news that is going on, because I don't really want to focus on it anymore, to be quite honest with you.
Sure.
I feel that I waited a while to do any kind of interviews because obviously when the news came out and I made my statement, I had a rush of people wanting to interview me. And I think that people wanted some dirt, and I don't have any dirt that
right.
I want to, that's not my deal. That's
sure.
not my vibe. But what started to happen is I was getting a lot of messages from fans disappointed and sad and so upset, and had tickets to a show and said, I'm not going to go if you're not going to be the singer.
Yeah.
And things like that. And then questions coming in of, why did you quit? And I only wanted to set the record straight for the fans. This isn't communication for that camp. This isn't communication for other musicians or anybody else. This is my communication for my people that dig what I do and the people that love me and the people that wanted to know why I quit.
Yeah.
And so my message to them is simple. I did not quit.
Yes.
I did not leave you. I did not quit. And that's really, you can read between the lines. You can figure out whatever story you want to tell yourself. But I needed to say that to my people, that I didn't quit.
Right.
And I would not have quit. And there was no reason for me to quit. We killed it every night that we were together.
Yes.
And I've been so thankful and grateful to be keeping the legacy of Vixen alive. And now what I do in every fashion, whenever something goes away or changes, I pivot to the left or I pivot to the right and I keep on going. I mean, this is not the first time that there's been a change in my life.
Right.
You know, I got dropped, you know, Femme Fatale got dropped from the record company back in the day. You know, life goes on. Yeah. I've been married and things didn't work out. Life goes on. I created the show Ex-Wives of Rock and enjoyed 54 episodes, three seasons deep, and thought we were going to get a fourth season, and we didn't. And that's just life. Yeah. So this section, this time that I've spent with this band has been great and amazing. I have the most incredible memories ever. But it's just a slice of the story that is me. It's just a slice. It's just a small chapter.
Yes.
It's really a teeny chapter.
True.
Compared to all the magic that has been in my life and that will continue to be.
So true.
Isn't it odd, though, like you're mentioning all the things that happened, you know, with Femme Fatale, you know, losing your record deal and all these things. But we didn't have the internet back then. And now we have the internet and everybody's out there, you know, coming up with all their own little ideas and what's going to go down. I mean, this just, it didn't just affect you. It also, you know, Janet Gardner, they thought that she was coming back, you know, so everybody was, you know, speculations and everything. She had to come out and with her own little statement, you know, online and say, no, I'm not coming back. So it's like, it affects many, many different people, you know.
It does.
And I will tell you that Janet texted me that day. Janet and I are cool. I love Janet. So, yeah, it was a great exchange between Janet and myself, one Vixen singer to another. And it was pretty special, and I love her so much.
Well, one thing I want to share with you, just to give you a little bit of peace of mind as far as you investing some time with us tonight, the purpose of our show is to give our guest, which is you this evening, the platform to come on and speak what they want to speak their truth, promote the current activities they have going on. This isn't just a trip down memory lane. Our goal is for you to tell people, hey, I'm still out here. I'm giving you new content, new things to be excited about the future. You know, he and I, we grew up, we're 80s kids, and I don't think we would have survived without your music, that music. It kept us alive. And this is our way as, you know, 50-year-old people to give back to you guys what you gave to us. So we are certainly here to let you speak whatever truth you want to speak. And we do appreciate your comments on that. Like you said, it's a tiny slice of what you've done. And we're gonna move on and we're going to get on to what you've got going on in the future. And I know we'll probably have some Femme Fatale questions as well. So Scott, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Before we move on, I wanted to say how awesome I thought the song Red was.
Yes.
Vixen and the video, and how much fun you guys looked, you gals looked, doing the video on the Sunset Strip, and that's where you live. That's your home. What was that like, you know, filming a video on your home turf?
Oh, yeah. Filming Red was amazing. 2 days of filming, one on Sunset Boulevard and in Hollywood, and then one downtown L.A. on the rooftop. Incredible. Very, very hard work, reminiscent of my Femme Fatale days, because it's, you know, you film a hella ton of things, and then the editor comes and slices and dices, and you're left with this wonderful product. But you know, you film so much.
Yes.
We film so many things, and we worked really hard. We had a really good time. We all stayed at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of like my turf. I love it there. I like to stay there, and we just had a really good time. You know, we were all, you know, hair and makeup, which I love so much. If you know anything about me, if you follow me on Instagram, Lorraine Lewis Rocks, by the way, if you follow me at all, you know, I'm a girly girl. I'm a rock and roller, but I'm a girly girl. I like nice things. I like fancy things. I like bling bling.
Mm-hmm,
and,
yeah.
but we had a really great, great time. And I was so proud to do that and to be, you know, to have a song with the band's name. And I mean, that will be forever.
Yes.
And, you know, and I love that. I mean, to know that I contributed a small slice of something to the brand like that is pretty effing cool. I was hoping that we would do an album. I really thought we were headed there. We did go into the studio and we were working on a couple of songs, one of them in particular that I wrote, called Home Is Where the Heart Is. I really thought that we were going to keep on expanding. But now that we're not going to be doing that together, I mean, I wrote the song. The song is mine. And so that's going to be coming out, as well as some other solo stuff that I've done. So it's all cool.
That's awesome.
Well,
that's awesome.
Let's talk about this. We want to talk about, like I said, the here and now. So let me put this up on screen. You have done a song with Kevin Gutcher called Save Me. And this single was released on June 27th by Hellaphonic Music. Tell us a little bit about the song. We've heard it. It's amazing. It's powerful. It's well done. Simon Wright is on drums, as well as other really fantastic musicians. How did this collaboration come about?
I've known Melanie and Kevin for many years. They're really good friends of mine. I mean, I love them. We don't see each other all the time, but they're really great people, great songwriters. Melanie is co-songwriter on that song, and I know that they've had a lot of loss in their lives the last few years, and she wrote this song about that time, and they contacted me and just said, we would love for you to do a duet with Kevin, are you down? And I always say yes, but I always also say, you know, I need to hear the song because I need to love it. Well, you know, like I'm not just going to sing anything. I mean, I have so many people reaching out to me to do things with me, and I love them for it. And at the same time, I have to believe the song. I have to love it. I have to get behind it. I have to, you know, eat it for breakfast and know that it's inside of me and I can deliver.
Yeah.
And I heard the song and I thought it was killer. Yeah. So we made plans to go into the studio and we had a great, great time. I love the song because I just feel like I really got to power it out. You know, Kevin is a really explosive singer from Omen and of God and Monsters. And he's got a really gravelly, just powerful, badass metal kind of voice. And it was really fun to be able to match that energy with him.
Yeah.
And my thing, do what I love to do, which is just go for it. So I loved it. Yeah,
I believe Omen has an Oklahoma connection, I believe.
Really?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
What is that? I don't know that either.
I have to do more research. I don't know. But I know, like, the singers or one of the guys' son was in a band years ago. Yeah, yeah.
Let's look that up afterwards. But
okay,
so
I have an Oklahoma connection. So my part of my family is from El Reno.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, wow is right. And I had to spend summers out there. And I'm sorry, but it wasn't my thing. I mean, cornfields and cute boys and hot rods, that was my thing. But no, the weather was just not my thing. And it was very small. El Reno was very small. And I come from Albuquerque, New Mexico originally, which is not a huge, it's not like New York, but it's a city. But I just felt El Reno was like a town.
Yeah. Well, a town. You and I have a couple of things in common. I actually have lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico myself back in like 80 to like 83.
Amazing.
I remember being young kid. I won some tickets off of, I want to say it was 94 Rock or something like that. It's a radio station out there.
Yeah, and 94 Rock. Yeah, was there do you remember like any of the clubs like Smuggler's Cove or
Graham Central Station,
Senior Buckets?
Yeah. Yeah, I was too young to get in those things, but I did win those tickets. And me and my sister took a bus. I think it was on Wantabo. And that's where Graham Central Station was. And we saw this band called The White, and they were a Led Zeppelin tribute band. And we were young kids, and my parents didn't even know we went down there. And they let us go in there and sit. I guess we couldn't go, you know, past the 21, you know, where you can order drinks and everything. He let us watch the show, and then we got back on the bus and went back home. But Albuquerque was really cool. I mean, he had the balloon festivals, you know, and they have the Sandia Mountains and all that cool stuff.
Yeah, it's a very cool place. I haven't been back for quite a few years, but, you know, it was a great place to grow up. And I, you know, to the Albuquerque homies, you know, I love you guys. I miss you. We were supposed to do a show out there back in 2020, and it got canceled and then rescheduled, and it didn't happen. And so I will say to the Albuquerqueans that love me, I'm headed back there. Maybe it will be my first show back that I will do in Albuquerque. How would you like that?
That'd be amazing, a homecoming.
And did you know that she filled in for, was it Janet? In Durant, Oklahoma, you filled in for the Vixen gig before
Choctaw, that's okay. Right.
With Choctaw Casino, yes.
Okay, there you
Too
go.
Fun. You talked about, you know, not really being an Oklahoma girl. We get it. Our state is not for everybody. Now, we live in Tulsa, so we're a little more city-fied here. I'm like you. I couldn't do the small town either, but I'm sure our town is a small cry from where you live. So a lot of your musical cohorts have actually made the decision to get out of L.A. A lot of them have ended up in Vegas. What has kept you in California? I'm assuming probably your line of work, but is it just that it's in your blood and in your veins, and it, you know, cost of living be damned, you're going to make it work out there?
Well, why do I stay? It's just been like my dream to live in LA. I mean, and I actually don't live in Los Angeles anymore. I live in Palm Springs.
Ah.
I have made that shift.
Okay.
But I love LA. You know, Hollywood, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Hollywood and LA is the boyfriend that I cannot quit.
Sure.
I mean, I don't care if it's desolate or crazy or people are nuts or whatever is going on, it's still Hollywood.
Yeah.
And if you grew up like I grew up wanting to be a part of Hollywood on any level and wanting to be in the scene and hobnob and all of that stuff and celebrity, I love all of it. And so this is just a natural place for me to be. California, you know, California sunshine and tan skin. And you know, I have a really good support, fun, friend, fan group here that I love. But, you know, there's options, too. I had a bunch of Seattle. I lived in Seattle for a while, and I've had a bunch of Seattle people say, you know, come home. And they think Seattle is home. You know, I have a lot of different homes.
Yeah.
So I might be going to Seattle soon just to kind of unwind a little bit. Because I, you know, with this news that came out, I didn't really realize, like, how popular I am.
Yeah.
Like it's bizarre, and that's going to sound weird to some people. And if there's haters out there, they're going to say, oh God, she's so full of herself. It's not that at all. It's that I had no idea that people care as much as they care. It's amazing. I mean, my phone has just been blowing up like crazy since all of this happened. And just to feel the love has been so great, you know, just from people all over the place, rock stars, fans, friends, people from back home. I mean, it's just amazing that people care, and it's nice to feel that people care about me.
Well, we do, and I hope you always know that and never forget it. You know, I started playing the guitar at the age of 12, and it was women like you who gave me the courage to go out there and understand that, hey, if I put in my homework and I work my butt off and I have a never give up attitude, I can play with the boys. And you know, that has, I'm in a band with him to this day, and it's served me well. It's women like you who paved the way for people like me to get into the scene. And I appreciate you, and I hope you know you are loved. You know, I know so many people have come at you over the years with the question of what was it like being a woman in a man-dominated world. I'm going to come at that a little bit of a different angle, if you don't mind. you know, today's world, seeing a woman fronting a metal band, it's not unusual. It's fairly common. I mean, you've got all kinds of metal bands out there that are fronted by women. Do you feel like maybe you faced some criticism for just for being a woman back in the day that maybe the ladies of today aren't facing that you did? Or was it just all love for you from the get-go?
I never felt anything bad or negative. I mean, I just felt like I was just doing my thing, rocking and rolling. I didn't think about going up against anyone. Right. The guys were great in the bands. I mean, I think the only pushback with being a female was in radio and trying to get your music on radio stations. That was challenging because they would play one female in 24 hours. And if I've told this story before, but if I would go to a radio station and I would see Lita's picture or poster on the wall, I would know that she got there first and they weren't going to play Femme Fatale. But if I walked in and there was Guns N' Roses and Winger, I thought, yeah, I can get this station. And that's kind of how it was. If they played one female, and that's just something that I just knew and didn't worry about it, though. I mean, I've just never been... I don't worry about a lot of that kind of stuff. I just believe that if I'm real and authentic and do what I love to do, that it will come through no matter what. So I just do my best to stay true to myself. I have fun. I believe that life is meant to be fun.
Yeah.
And I don't take myself as seriously as a lot of people probably think I do. But I just like to have fun. And I don't know if you follow me on Instagram or not, but I'm goofy. I'm so goofy and fun and wild, and will break out in a dance at any moment. And, you know, I just love life. I really do.
That's
and I
good.
Want to live it to the fullest.
Yeah, you should. That's the only way to live it. I mean, we only have a short period of time. You're doing it right, girl. You're doing it right.
You know, back in the day, especially the Sunset Bands in the 80s, there was a lot of competition amongst the guys. You know, there was a lot of bickering and, you know, Quiet Riot versus Motley Crue. You had these guys talking this. Was it anything with you guys, like with the lady, the front ladies, like Saraya? Was that the, yes?
Is it Saraya?
Did you have any competition with any bands back in the day?
I never felt like anybody was competition for me. So, and that's going to sound bold and brash maybe to some people, but again, I didn't think of it like that. I just came to do what I was meant to do. And if you wanted to be my friend, great. If you didn't want to be my friend, okay. You know, like it's all right. I'm just going to do what I believe that I was meant to do, which is entertain. You know, I'm an entertainer. I'm an entertainer at Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know? I walk in the door. I'm here to entertain you. And if I catch people looking at me or checking me out, I put on a show for them. It's just part of my nature. Maybe it's because I grew up in a family of six kids and we were always fighting for attention. I don't know. I love attention and I love affection, and I just like to have fun and laugh at myself and not other people, but I love to laugh at myself and I love to laugh at the crazy situations that I've gotten into. I mean, just even the fact of setting up here today, you don't even know. Like, I dropped my sippy cup that was filled with water.
No.
And it went everywhere, and I've got cords everywhere, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get electrocuted on air. That's going to be perfect. But that's the kind of stuff that happens to me. It's like I just kind of a bull in a china closet sometimes, and then sometimes I'm very sophisticated and refined with a pinky up. I'm a lot of different people, so yeah.
Well, you've always dressed great. Yes. And your outfits are amazing. You seem to really know how to put an awesome outfit on. And yeah. I know do you still have a clothing line and do you still do any of those things?
No, that went away with husband number three. And we were co-creators of that brand, Rock and Roll Vending. And we had a really good run and it was awesome. And I loved the experience. Hell of a lot of work, I'll tell you what. So much work, and I loved it, and I love that the people showed up for it. And even still, people, I go, you know, when we've come out on stage, there will be people with Rock and Roll Vending gear on. But no, kind of had to put that to rest because there was just so much going on with, you know, Ex-Wives of Rock and music and just everything. And I just was wearing myself too thin. And so it needed to go bye-bye. And I don't really, there's not even a little inkling of like, let me bring it back. No, I just, it had its time and it's all good. Again, another chapter.
A lot of the proceeds did go to animal rescuing. I'm sure you still do a lot of that as well, or no?
Well, I have had 6 dogs in my life. You've done your research. You know a lot about me. I've had 6 dogs throughout my life that as an adult, and they have all passed. They've all left me. And so I don't have any pets in my life anymore. And to be honest with you, I've had to kind of stay away from all the rescue stuff because I'm really highly emotionally sensitive.
Yeah.
I have to really filter what I feed myself as far as what I give my attention to. And I kind of had to stop following a lot of the rescue places on Instagram and all of that because it was just starting to just make me feel so sad because yes. I just want to save them all and fix them all and be there.
Yes.
And I can't do that. And so I just protect myself. And I think, I mean, I don't watch the news. Mm-hmm. I don't watch the animal rescue stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I just stay away from it because I'm just too sensitive and I absorb it. I used to be really, really into murder mysteries like, you know, on Nightline and things like that. And I know a lot of women, it's a thing, right? We love that kind of stuff. And I was really into it for years. And then one night I was watching and I just thought, what am I feeding myself?
Yeah.
You know, this is not healthy. Like, this is weird for me. Anybody else can do what they want to do. I'm not judging on any level. I'm just saying for me, it just didn't feel right all of a sudden. And I just felt like, gosh, I'd rather just get my guitar and go sit and write a song or hang out or, you know, call a girlfriend or something. And so I stopped watching that too. I just really do my best to feed myself good stuff. I watch hummingbirds in the morning.
Yep.
After my workouts, I do a hot girl walk and run in the morning. I mean, I really do my best to take care of myself. And thank you for thinking that I'm fashion forward. I love fashion. You should see my closet. I'm actually doing a reel about my closet and all the great stuff that's in there because I think the girls that follow me are going to really dig it. But I have really fun stuff. I just love fashion and clothes and anywhere from Versace to, you know, I'll shop at Target, you know, I'll mix it all up. I'm a little bit of everything.
Well, we definitely want to talk a little bit about Ex-Wives of Rock. But before I do, I want to ask about how you got into TV casting to begin with. I would imagine there's a lot of similarities in the TV world that there are in the music world as far as being an up-and-coming actor trying to break into that circle. So tell us, first of all, how did you get into TV casting?
I got into TV casting because of Ex-Wives of Rock, plain and simple.
Wow.
That was my first venture into television. Was I had an idea about ex-wives married to rock stars, and I just thought that was so cool, and I loved reality show ideas. And I had a best friend at the time named Lisa Brucker. She became my business partner, and she was actually writing a book about me because she thought my life is really fascinating. And I was like, here we are, like 13, 14 years later, like it's really gotten juicy. So we should probably write that book. But she wanted to write a book about me and my life. And I would go over every Monday and she would write things down and I would tell her stories about some of the things that I've experienced. And then one day I just said, you know, I said, this book is great and all, but what do you think about doing a reality show? Like, what do you think about creating one? And I told her my concept and she liked the idea. And so we started casting it from there. And the first person that we got was Bobby Brown, because the Sunday, a Sunday night on MTV, there was a story about Bobby Brown. And so we started with her. We would have champagne brunches in the morning And we would go into Hollywood and we had her meet us and we would be drinking mimosas and champagne. We got to know her and told her our idea and she was totally on board, which was awesome. And then we asked her, who else can we get? Like, who else do you know? And she said, well, Charisse Neal is one of my best friends. And so that was the next meeting that we did. And we just built it along like that. And what a blast. So that's how I got into TV, because of that show. I was an executive producer and a creator of the show. And I learned a lot. And I really learned that I'm good at casting with that show, because there was a moment where originally it was going to be Charisse Neal, Bobby Brown, Brandi Brandt, who was married to Nikki Sixx.
Yep, yep.
Oh.
And Susan Blue Dixon, who was married to Jerry Dixon. So that was our original four.
Wow.
And the day that we were supposed to meet with our producer, who was Marty Kollner, I don't know if you know that name. He is a famous, he's so famous. He's a director. He produced the show Hard Knocks on HBO.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And also he's famous for doing rock and roll videos from the 80s where, you know, Tawny Kitaen was rolling on the Jaguar. That's Marty Kollner's work. He's worked with everybody. And one of his things is he loved working with women. That's one of his, you can Google him and he'll say, I love working with women. I love making women look beautiful. And so he is who I reached out to get that show off the ground. And he jumped on board. We were supposed to have a meeting on a Friday. Everybody showed up but Brandi. And we found out later that she had hit some hard times that day. Mm-hmm. And she got into some trouble around that time. And so she couldn't be a part of the show. Mm-hmm. But she did come back to do an episode. But so we were down a female, down a woman. We had three, and I knew I wanted an ensemble of four. And so it turned into Athena being our fourth.
Yeah.
And that came about because I was putting a band together called LA Nookie. It was going to be a rock star, Hollywood kind of jam, cover songs kind of a thing. And we did a few shows. And Athena played drums for us one night. We did Cherry Bomb together.
Oh, wow.
From the Runaways, yeah, with her on drums. That was at the House of Blues on Sunset Boulevard. And so we got to be friendly. And then it just made sense that she would be our fourth because she was starting to go through problems with James Kotak,
yep,
her husband. And it made her the perfect addition to the show. You know, these veteran rock and roll women that have already been there, done that, they're divorced. And then you get Athena, who's kind of the newbie, and she's figuring things out, mm-hmm, and trying to figure out how to get through this divorce. And they embrace her and bring her in. And that was my doing. And I know that that was the best fit. Athena turned out to be the most popular of the wives on the show.
Yeah.
Her and Charisse. I mean, and Charisse was amazing. Charisse came to my house one day before we got the deal, and she was like, "I don't know if I want to be famous, you know." And I'm like, "Oh my god, then step aside, because I'll take your place." I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Well, I like being anonymous at the grocery store." I'm like, "Oh my god, really? I like everybody knowing who I am at the grocery store." Anyway, so. I talked her into it, basically, and she really, season one, she played it pretty safe. Season two, amazing. Season three, the gloves came off. She was outrageous, yeah, effing amazing.
Yeah.
The stuff that comes out of her mouth. She's one of my best friends. I actually was just with her in the gym 2 days ago. She lives here in the desert with me.
Wow.
So it's so cool. And gosh, should I do a little tease? There might be something coming, mm-hmm, with me and her and TV.
Oh, just, my goodness.
I mean, there might not be, but there just might be.
Oh, wow. Well, let me tell you what. Scott and I were late to the game on the Ex-Wives of Rock, but when we found it, girl, we binged that show so hard, and we fell in love with all of them. Mm-hmm. And we've actually had Bobby Brown on the show, and believe it or not, we had James Kotak on this show before he passed as well.
Yeah, it was one of his last interviews.
It was. And let me tell you, I mean, you know, it was a lighthearted show at times, and it got heavy at times. And I think that's what was so endearing about the characters is you truly fell in love with them. I have to ask you, I know reality television is not 100% real, but if you could put a percentage on how much of that was real stuff, I know there's some embellishment. What would you say?
Of Ex-Wives of Rock?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness, 95%.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Oh, hells yeah. And I'm very proud to say that. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you how it goes. And let me ask you a question. Are people seeing this picture, or are they seeing this picture?
So, right, okay, what you're seeing, you see us now, right?
I feel like I need to make an adjustment.
Oh, you're good. You're definitely a perfectionist. Yeah,
We're changing pictures.
So when I do this and you just see yourself, that's what the viewers see. But then when I do that, the viewers are seeing all three of us together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. And then when I do this, they're seeing the picture, but they still hear us talk.
I don't want to produce your own show. It's your show. You produce it the way you want.
Oh, hey, we are novices. We will take any advice we can get.
Oh, I'm just trying to produce me. I'm just like, okay, where am I looking? Because see, I'm not looking at you when I'm talking. I'm looking up at the little light in the laptop.
You're fine.
It looks like I'm looking right at you, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's perfect.
Yes, that's one of those tricks.
That's right.
Okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking about the percentage.
The percentage of, like, how real was that reality show percentage-wise? Sounds like 95% of it.
I'm really proud to say 95%. And I'll tell you, this is how it goes with reality TV and with our show. Because I can't really speak about other shows. Although, I mean, I've worked on quite a few. But for us, this is how it is. You know, we have meetings, we have story writers, we have story people, for sure.
Yeah.
There has to be some kind of storyline for each person that's on the show. You know, it's not like we just want to film a bunch of chaos that makes no sense. There has to be a beginning, a middle, and an ending for each character, no matter what that is. But we don't tell them what to say, but we follow a line of what their character is doing. Mm-hmm. And we get to that point by finding out who they are as people. We got to be very, very close with all of them. I mean, I would be on the phone with them at 2 o'clock in the morning as a friend, you know, going through some of the things that they were going through in their lives. And I would take that to our story meeting and I would let everyone know, well, look, you know, between us, this is what's going on in such and such life. You know, this is what's going on with Charisse right now. And we fit what's going on with her life into the story, the arc of the character. And that's how it was. But we didn't, you know, we didn't put extra alcohol in them or tell them you have to drink and get drunk and say this.
Yeah.
I always told them what you show up as and the things that you say, that's who you're going to be on camera. Mm-hmm. So you might want to, if you're worried about being seen a certain way that you think is going to be negative, then don't be negative. You don't want to be seen as looking like a bitch, then don't be a bitch. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But they got so comfortable with the whole process that they just let their hair down. And that's when the magic really happened. And yes, there was a lot we showed the real. We showed a lot of real, you know, Athena was having a hard time during that time navigating her relationship with James. And I will say James was, as far as me being a TV producer, James was top shelf on that show. I mean, talk about amazing character on a show.
Yeah.
He was charming. He was wacky. He was a disaster. You know, the whole thing with his hair, you know, I mean, he was so flipping funny.
Yeah.
Same thing with Blue. insane. I love her. It, complete insanity, bonkers, but so charming. And we had a field day. So it basically wrote itself. It wrote itself because they were all so zany, you know, Bobby with her boyfriend in that, you know, just the crazy stuff, you know, and then the young boyfriend, and then, oh my God, what a wild ride. Charisse with her baby daddy.
Yeah.
Her, I mean, great, another great character. And that's who these people just were. So if your viewers and listeners don't know the show, you can go to YouTube and there are some episodes. It was narrated by Shannon Tweed, who is married to Gene Simmons.
Yep.
And she just kind of has the perspective, like the ultimate rock wife, and her perspective on things. And it's a really great show. And there were tender moments. There were disaster moments. Yep. There were wild moments. Vegas trip was off the chain.
Let me ask you one more question, because I love that show so much that I want to own it. And we were on YouTube looking for it hard, and it's hard to find all of the episodes on there. Is there somewhere we can go to purchase it, like on DVD or anything?
We've never released it. I have every episode in my closet right there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I have all the episodes. Maybe that's something that I can talk to Lisa about, and maybe we'll release something like that. I know that people would really love to see it. And if you call yourself rock and roll, like, you need to see this show.
100%.
If you are anything rock and roll.
100%. It's so good. And I have people in the chat right now saying, I need to watch this show. I think some of us here, it was released in Canada first, right?
Yes, we sold it to Canada. It was Slice Network.
Yeah.
That's actually who funded it all. Okay. And then we acquisitioned it. It got acquisitioned to Access TV. And then, well, actually, it was Fuse first and then Access TV. And man, I thought it was going to go on forever. Oh. I wanted it to go on forever. There's still so much that could have happened. I mean, Athena is a nurse now. She is a traveling nurse.
Really?
Really well. I haven't talked to Bobby in a while, but and then Charisse is here with me in the desert, and we're having a blast. And Blue, I haven't talked to in a while either, but I love those girls. Oh my gosh, I love those girls so much.
Yeah, let me just, for the benefit of the people watching, here's the graphic up on that one more time. Ex-Wives of Rock. Guys, look for that on YouTube. I'm telling you, it is so entertaining. It is so well done. And man, can't recommend a reality show more than that one. You guys will truly enjoy that.
And of course, it focused a lot on James's his problems with alcohol and everything. And of course, he died not too long ago. I don't know if you've reached out to Athena or anybody.
He's one of my best friends.
Right, and I'm sure that had to be something really hard for you to. You know, have to, I guess, endure, you know.
Well, look, when we were filming, James was just charming and wonderful. When the cameras were not off, it was challenging to be around, because he definitely was sick and had a problem. And it was that part was not fun. When we were filming, he was completely professional, charming, funny. It got wild. You know, there was lots of drinks flying and stuff like that. And that was real. But I feel for him, and I feel for them and their relationship, because that's a tough thing to live through and survive through. You know, we were also filming when Janie Lane passed away.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Shocking. I mean, and so when you say, was it real? I mean, that's what I mean. Yeah. We didn't create that,
right.
You know, that happened. We showed it. James got arrested in Dubai. Headline news in Dubai.
Yeah.
We didn't create that. We showed it. So we were like flies on the wall and just showed the unveiling of their lives as they traveled and as they collided as friends. It was pretty wild. A couple of those scenes, I'm remembering Blue's son getting smashed at the pool party.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she, oh my gosh. People that are listening right now, like you have, it is so ridiculous. And there's a part where Blue's husband is like trying to get Bobby to like show her boobs.
Yep.
And it's just really funny. That show was so good. It was so good. I love those girls for bringing it. Yep.
Absolutely. Can't speak highly enough about it. So that time frame, then let's put this up. Is that what led to this coming together? The reformation of Femme Fatale with Athena in it. And then you've got some other stellar musicians on there, Courtney. And this particular picture has Nikki Stringfield. We've had both of them on here with us. How fun was this version of the band?
So much fun. So you've got Janice Tanaka, the one that's throwing the horn. She in L7. She's an amazing bass player. Athena, of course, myself, Nikki Stringfield, who stepped in after Nita left to go be with Alice. Courtney Cox, and then Kat Scarlett, who also tours with Nita. Super fun. Oh my gosh. Now, this band was put together was after we had the show going, because we filmed on the cruise Athena and A Moment with Athena on the cruise. So I know that the show was already going. And then I put that all-female band together, and we just had a blast. I love those girls, too. I mean, I've been around some superheroes, for sure, some goddesses, for sure. But I will tell you one thing. As much fun as I have with the girls, I am down for getting into a rock band with a bunch of boys. Okay. I am ready to be around a bunch of male energy, and let's, like, light it up, for sure. I was recently in the studio with Lou Graham, and it was just a bunch of guys in the studio, Lou Graham and his son who manages him, Scott Gilman, who was producing for us, and he's the saxophone player for Lou Graham. And it was nice to be around male energy and be the only girl in the room for a change.
Yeah.
I loved it. So, I think that there's a boy band, a guy band, rocking dudes in my future.
There you go. And it's so cool, though, that Nita got to, I guess, when Femme, I guess it was Monsters of Rock, where you guys were playing a show, and Alice Cooper noticed her, I guess, with you guys playing. Is that right?
She stole her from us, yes.
Oh, man. Well, she has done great things with him.
Here's the thing. Nita is a badass. Nita is, she's nonstop. Her work ethic is amazing. I mean, she's an incredible guitar player.
Yes.
She's drop-dead gorgeous. Her and Josh, her now husband, just killing it. So, yeah, I couldn't be more happy or proud of being friends with Nita and knowing that she deserves every last bit of this, every bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did say I had a couple things in common with you, and the other thing I have common with you is my very first job was Winchell's Donuts. and I believe that's your... Huh?
Were you a baker?
I was. I was young. I was still in high school. And I would after school I'd work at nights and we had a payphone back there, and it's the only way we could actually call out and everything. I'd put a quarter in, and I'd have my girlfriend call through there, and I can, you know, stay on it all night. But that was my very first job, and I believe that was your very first job, was at Winchell's.
My very first job, Winchell's Donut Shop. I had a blast. Oh my gosh, donuts galore for my family. Did you ever get robbed at gunpoint?
No. Oh, geez. Did you?
Twice.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, where was this?
Albuquerque,
New Mexico.
Is that right?
Mexico, yes. I worked there for 4 years and during high school. And one night I was there, and my brother was there with me. He was cleaning. It's like my whole family worked there or something. But he was back cleaning, and this guy came up. He wasn't that old. He's probably in his mid-20s, and he had a gun, and he told me to open up the cash register and give him all the money. And so I did, and he also wanted a dozen glazed donuts.
Jeez.
And so I gave him that too.
Of course. Wow. You did. Jeez, that's scary.
Now,
yeah,
you were
wild.
you're talking about getting back with, or, you know, getting back with some boys of rock, I guess, starting a band with some guys, some guy energy. Do you ever reach out to any of your past members, Femme Fatale, some of the other guys? I know Bill D'Angelo, he passed away in 2005, but what about some of the other guys?
Yeah, I don't communicate with Mozzie, also known as Cliff. I know that he is married to an opera singer, and I know that he has a Fortune 500 company. Wow. He was always a genius. And I don't know that much more about him, but obviously the bass player is my brother, Bobby, the drummer. They're both living in Albuquerque. I actually just talked to them a few weeks ago because F&A Records released the live and demos CD, and we're getting ready to release, well, we're getting ready to deliver the vinyl. Is going to be shipped in late September.
And there we have it right on the screen.
Yes, thank you. Yes, really cool. This is when we were on tour with Cheap Trick, and the sound man fell in love with us, and we had no idea that he recorded some of the shows and later let us know. And so F&A Records, we decided to release it, and it's pretty cool. Like, the first time I put the CD on after I got it, I got super teary-eyed and chills because it's beginning and we're, you know, on the side of the stage, we're getting ready to go rock out. And you hear someone say, you know, are you ready? Are you ready? Lorraine, are you ready? And then you hear Bobby, you know, let's go. And just the excitement, I mean, it just all came flooding back to me of how special that band was. And being on stage with my brother, and the harmonies are killer. Like, all of them were so good. Bobby, Mozzie, and Rick all sang backups and spot on, like no wavers of pitch at all. It sounds so good. And, you know, you hear me interacting with the crowd and doing really the same things that I do now. I'm just the same person. I really am. The way that I talk to the crowd and that I flirt with the crowd, it's just, it's the same.
Well, it has to be amazing, cool. You know, listening to that and you know, reminiscing about your, you know, the good old days of Femme Fatale. But you also were on Remote Control on MTV. You got to do some really cool interviews. That had been a blast. You were up there with Anthrax and Brittany Fox.
Yeah.
And you know what's so crazy is all of these years later, I'm really good friends with Charlie's fiance, Carly that is from the band with the two singers, the blonde, she's the dark hair, screaming, great, sexy. What's the name of their band?
I can't think of it either.
Oh my gosh, I can't think of it.
It's
right,
okay.
Now. She's going to be in LA in a couple of weeks because her situation has changed with her band as well. And so we're going to get together. You know, I have an idea to put an all-female band together doing covers called Queens of Chaos. And so that would be hella cool. So maybe that will happen in the future. I mean, I've got so many things. I've got a stack of paper over there with ideas. I have vision boards. I create. I'm an entertainer that creates, and I can't wait to reveal what's next. I mean, there's so much going on. Yeah.
We flew out there to Key West, and we saw you and the girls, Vixen, out there in the Rock Island Fest for the very first one. We got to open up for you at the IDL Ballroom here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was with the Iron Maidens. And we were the first band.
Yeah, it was fun.
And but we'll definitely will be missing, you know, you with Fix and everything. I know they just recently announced their new singer. I don't know if you know anything about her or did you know that she was going to be the replacement?
No, I believe that they had things in place before I was told I wasn't singing for them anymore.
Gotcha.
But I don't, yeah, I'm sure that that was figured out. So while I was getting ready to tour, they had other plans.
Well, let's kind of put a nice bow on this. So obviously you are a woman with a lot of irons in the fire, and now you have this beautiful blank canvas in front of you where you can do whatever you want. Give, and you've already teased a couple of things that we maybe can expect from you. Give us an idea of what is next for Lorraine in 2024 and 2025. What can we expect to see from you?
Yeah, I would say musically, I'm really looking at 2025.
Okay.
I will tease a little bit that I have some meetings tomorrow with some amazing musicians.
Okay.
And I'm excited about that. I'm not in a hurry, though.
Yeah. Right.
No, like it's not. I'm not going to just rush something because that's over now. I have to be doing something. You know, no. I'm doing things right. I'm writing with an amazing producer that actually has a couple of hit songs out right now. Really excited about that. I don't want to mention any names yet. You know, I really don't like to say too much about what is in the future because people have a way of just not being supportive, you know? And I just don't want to hear anybody say anything about their opinion.
I understand.
Anything, yeah. I'm going to do. Like if I just decide to do OnlyFans tomorrow, like I'm going to do, you know what I'm going to do?
Breaking news.
And whatever Lorraine wants to do, she's going to do. And I just like to keep things here because I don't really need anybody's opinion.
Right.
I believe in my gut and I believe in my heart and my soul. And I really believe that I know what my life, what I want to feel and what I want my life to be like. And so, you know, it's really challenging to, I know people want to know what's next. But what I can say is that there is definitely new music coming. Lou Graham and I have been in the studio. We have one song in the can with our vocals. I'm waiting for Comp. Working with him is the highlight of my career. I mean, you talk about a chapter. You know, this chapter with Lou Graham has been incredible. To come out of the vocal booth and have him look up and say, "You sound incredible. You're so great. Like, I love what you're doing." It was chills for me. Yeah. And, you know, like, that's the stuff. You know, that's the stuff that means something to me. That's the stuff that matters. You know, being on tour last summer at Wacken Festival with 60,000 people in the palm of my hand, like, that's the stuff. That's the stuff I live for. Being belly to belly with the people and having them dig what I do and people understanding me. You know, there's always going to be haters. There's always going to be people there. The internet is such an insane thing. I don't know why people say negative things on it. I don't know if that makes them feel powerful. I don't really get it. I've never written a negative comment on social media to anyone. I think it's the weirdest phenomenon to me. I have nothing bad to say about anybody. I like to stay in my own lane. I just want to work on the things that I want to do, and I just want to keep on rocking and rolling and having fun and living life to the fullest. And you know, change my mind in like 5 times a day.
Absolutely. I think that's a perfect response and a perfect plan. You know, everything you said is right, but also you can change your mind. You can tell us your plan and then maybe you decide in 3 weeks, no, I want to go a different route. I'm telling you, you're doing it right. And before we let you go, I just want to share some viewer love and viewer comments with you. Carrie Dodson agrees with you and says, "Oklahoma weather isn't for everyone." Cynthia Shoemaker says, "I'm going to follow you on Instagram." So that's good. Heather Hartness is sending you love and hearts. Leslie Allred says, "Lorraine, you are so down to earth. Love it. We do too." Our good friend Don Freeman Hosterman is going to check out Ex-Wives of Rock. Don, you've got to. It's amazing. You will love it.
Yeah.
And Ricky Cook, I think he is letting us know that the name of the band we were looking for is Butcher Babies.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, Heidi and Carly, Butcher Babies, for goodness sake.
Yes.
What's wrong with me?
you are fine. Yeah. Scott, do you have anything else?
I just, you know, I'm amazed on all the cool things you were able to do in your rock and roll life. You know, that's what, you know, I was born watching you on MTV. You know, I've seen you multiple times on stage. You always give it your all. You're so fun to talk to. You got the ride to the MTV Awards on the back of Ricky Rocket's Harley Davidson. You got the rock and roll on stage with Sam Kinison doing the Wild Thing. And I'm honored that you were able to come on the Tulsa Music Stream and talk to me and Jana. So thank you so much for everything.
Yes, thank you so much, Scott and Jenna. You've been great, great questions, made me feel very comfortable. I appreciate it, and I love that you did some research. And yeah, I mean, I've done some crazy, fun, wild things. You know, Ricky is still a very good friend of mine. He just texted me last weekend. I love him. He's a great, great guy. Oh, my goodness. And I have had quite the wild ride. And will there be a book? I don't know.
That's one more thing in your plans.
We sure
2025.
Hope so. Lorraine, we send you our love and we send you all the best, and we will definitely watch for what you have coming up in the future. God bless you. Have a great night. Thanks for joining us here on Tulsa Music Stream.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and love you guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yay.
Great job.
That was awesome.
That's amazing.
Good job.
I am trying to end our meeting. Okay, here we go. Bye, hun.
Bye. I'll miss.
Oh, shoot.
You always turn them off.
I didn't mean to. I clicked it too early.
I think she was going to say, I'm going to miss coming to Rocklahoma.
Oh, really?
I think that's might be what she was going to say.
Oh, shoot. Well, sorry. I hit the end button too quick there. Darn it. Well, she was lovely. I knew she would be. What a talent. Man, she's got life by the tail. That's how you live life right there. I love her attitude. You know, when she started talking about animal rescue stuff, I so identify with that because, you know, there was a time in my life when I thought I wanted to get into that. I can't handle it, man. It's too sad. I mean, the animals need rescued, but it takes a certain type person to be able to gut through that emotionally and do it. And I'm like her. I just, I want to save them all. You can't. Totally felt her on that all the way. What a great guest she was. You guys make sure to check out everything she's doing. Her website is LorraineLewisRocks.co, not com, but C-O. And then you can check out her Instagram as well.
Yeah, that was a fun interview. And she's, you know, it was cool to talk about, you know, with Bobby Brown about the show that she was producing Rockstar
Ex-Wives of Rock,
and then of course we had James Kotak and before he passed away, and you know there was some very real stuff going on there, and like James said that there was some surreal stuff as well, you know, the stuff that was you know, blown out of proportion, I guess, you know, for the show, but that was probably the 5%.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, like she said, there has to be a structure. You can't just randomly run cameras through people's daily lives. I mean, there's got to be structure to a television show, but it is so well done. Seriously, guys, when he, I think, what was it, just this last year that we discovered it? Or maybe a year or so ago.
Yeah, it was before the James Kotak.
Before he passed. And man, I think we watched it, I mean, just all day. And I can't remember how long it took us to get through all three seasons. But man, we got into it hard. It was wonderful.
Yeah,
check it
cool.
out. Very much so. All right, let's do some sponsor stuff here. Our sponsor, DEB Concerts. Doug Burgess is bringing another fantastic show to town. You guys need to check out the Iron Maidens. Gosh, this is in less than 1 month. August 3rd.
Yeah, we were just talking about them.
Yeah. They'll be coming to town to the Shrine, and Dime Store Riot's going to be opening the show. It's also hosted by Eddie Trunk. Doors at 7, show at 8. Get those tickets at stubwire.com. It's just $25. That's a great price for what's going to be an amazing show. And man, Rocklahoma, it's going to be here before we know it too. Get your Rocklahoma tickets. Get ready to go have a great time. Check out Doug's stage out there, the DEB concert stage. He's going to have amazing bands on it like he does every year. Mm-hmm. We mentioned to you our new sponsors that have come on board, including this is one of them, Bill's Bud Connection. If you guys need your medical cannabis card, $60 is how you get that. And if you can call or text Carolyn at 918-521-9349. You can also follow them on Facebook. Just look up Bill's Bud Connection DR Referral Service and check out what they can do for you. Our good buddy Todd Brannon at Pest Patrol will take care of all of your pest control needs. He does residential and commercial service. He's licensed and insured. Call him at 918-582-7378. Check out their website at pestpatroltulsa.com. Do you have plumbing needs? This is who you need to call, our good friends at Horizon Plumbing. For all of your plumbing needs, call Horizon Plumbing and Drain, 918-258-9100. They will take good care of you. We also want to give a shout out to our other sponsors, Sycamo Filmworks, Identity Merch, and Shipman Photos. We appreciate your support of Tulsa Music Stream and all you do. Like Scott said at the beginning of the show, you can always check us out live or on replay. Yeah. On YouTube, Facebook, X, and Twitch. Please go to YouTube and make sure you subscribe and hit the notification bell. That way you will always know.
And if you're watching on YouTube, come on over to Facebook and hit follow. We're at Tulsa Music Stream.
That's right. That's right.
And we're also on X at TUL Music Stream.
Right. And if you guys want to hear the show while you're driving, maybe you can't watch video, but you can still hear the audio, go look up Tulsa Music Stream on Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, and so many more. Let's talk about what we have next. Coming up, we know this one is going to happen Tuesday, July 23rd at 6 p.m. Central. Steve Brown of Tesla is coming on with us, and that's going to be a great episode to catch up and see what's going on with those guys and hear his story. As we said, we're working on rescheduling Jeff Duncan. We don't have a firm date on that, but we will keep working on it as
we speak. And go ahead and hit that other camera. We got a little special guest here today.
Oh, hold on. Let me find it. You know what? I can't see him.
Oh.
But wait a minute. I can make an adjustment. It'll just be very unprofessional and on the fly. But let me see if I can do it here. Tell me when he comes. There he
Yeah, I see him.
Vinny, there he is. Hey, buddy. We don't normally let the cats run wild, while we're streaming live. But he's still a little bit off camera. That's okay.
He's right there.
Vinny, look up at everything. We like bringing that. There he is. I think people have missed seeing cats on Tulsa Music Stream. We've got one tonight because we just decided we'd let him. Oh, that's a good yawn, yeah. Buddy. We decided we'd let him run wild. And he looks like he's stoned, man. Come on, Vinny.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in with us and watching our show. Thank you for all the shares. Again, spread the love, spread the word around. Let everyone know to check us out and enjoy our show. Follow our page. And we appreciate you guys having a wonderful weekend. And hopefully we'll see some of you at River Spirit tomorrow.
Yeah. Check out the 5 o'clock somewhere bar. Rocket Science will be jamming the tunes at 9. It doesn't cost you any money. And there's very likely to be a cobra sighting. So you don't want to miss that. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. Have a great night. Thanks again, Lorraine Lewis. You're awesome. We love you. And so glad that you came on with us tonight. We'll see you guys soon on Tulsa Music Stream. Y'all take care. Thank you.